Let's pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew, the third chapter, the first 10 verses. And this section of Matthew is entitled, John the Baptist Prepares the Way. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Our theme for this Advent is Advent for everybody, or everyone, based on N.T. Wright's book by the same title. Last week, the week dealt with a time to watch. A time to watch, hopefully. Today is a time to repent, which hopefully leads to peace. Many of us, I know, have heard the expression, "Confession is good for the soul." Sometimes it's not so good for other parts of our body, but it's good for the soul. But if confession is good for the soul, repentance gives us peace, can give us peace. Back in 2003, I was a part-time local pastor, still working at R.A. Dudley Nurseries. I was finishing up my 17th year working there. They had great traditions. The best one happened at Christmas. We would have a Christmas party the second Friday of December. Everybody looked forward to it. They had some traditions that had been going on since the 40s when Mr. Ralph Dudley owned the business. Back then, it was common for all the employees to get a fruit basket. In our day, it was a fruit box. Oranges, tangerines, grapefruits, assortment of nuts, all kinds of stuff in this box. A turkey. That wasn't in the box, but we got a turkey. We got a gift certificate for the local grocery store that's no longer there, at the Bilo. $200 or so worth of gift certificate. We got some warm clothing. The thing about working at a nursery, when it's cold outside, you sometimes have to work in the cold. And usually it was something warm that would help you stay warm or dry in the winter. Then they would give you an envelope with a check that was a very tightly held secret. It was this myth that went with it that if you told anybody what was in your envelope, next year you might not get an envelope. But it was a nice envelope in any way you look at it. So at 12 o'clock, all the employees would come in, clock out, and there would be a barbecue feast that you cannot imagine. 125, 30 employees in this room. Mike or Tommy Dudley, one of the brothers, would say a few words, thanking everybody. And this year, in 2003, he asked me to say the blessing. And after he got through saying everything he had to say, he said, "Now I want to invite Charles Broom to say the blessing." And before I could take a breath, before I could even clear my throat, Tracy Norris, who is a supervisor of the order crews, spoke up. I thought Mike was in charge, and then Mike thought I was in charge, but neither one of us were in charge because Tracy was in charge. And Tracy said, "Let's gather around and get in a circle and hold hands." And everybody did. They got up off the tables and they backed up against the walls. And before you know it, we were holding hands. And then he said, "If you got your hat on, take it off." Everybody did. And we were standing there and we were waiting for what else Tracy had to say. And he smiled and he said, "We're ready." And I prayed. It was such a memorable moment because at that moment, we were all prepared for the blessing, for the prayer, a prayer in which we thank God for that day, for the whole year. Because there were people who started the year in January with us who were no longer with us. Some had died, some had left. We had new people there by the time December got here. It was a different group, and we were thankful because we had accomplished some great things in that year. But it was a prayer like no other, mainly because everyone was prepared for the prayer. We had our act together. We were family. We were holding hands. We loved one another. What have you done to prepare for Christmas? If you're like me, if I got to do anything to prepare for Christmas, it ain't going to happen. I have no time. I thought I had my stuff together, and some of you who know me real well know I don't, but I thought I had it together, and I thought I was still young enough I didn't have to look at my calendar. We were trying to have a staff luncheon. Somebody couldn't be here on that day, and somebody couldn't be on the other day, and so we ended up December the 20th. We could get in and have we had to go at 7:30 to Seasons 52 in the morning, but we could have lunch there. And I'm leaving church Wednesday night, and Jackie Putnam asked me, "How are you doing? You okay?" Well, I just got a text from the son of a lady whose funeral I'm doing on October the 20th. And she said, "I thought we were having our Christmas luncheon on October the 20th. I don't know how I'm going to be in Thompson, Georgia, and at Seasons 52 at the same time, but that's what I did. I don't have time to prepare for Christmas. Is anybody with me? Do I have an amen? Some of you said, "I'm already prepared. I've turned on the record player. Bing Crosby has sung White Christmas. Nat King Cole has sung the Christmas song. And we've heard chestnuts roasting on an open fire. We've heard Burl Ives singing." What did he sing? He sang the Holly Jolly Christmas. Brenda Lee. Did you know Rocking Around the Christmas Tree is number 2 on the list this year, top 10? People are discovering Brenda Lee this year. That's hard to believe. That was when I was a child. Some people are saying, "I've heard Perry Como sing Silent Night. I'm ready. I don't need to do anything else." Now, most of you have never heard of any of those people. What does it take for us to be ready for Christmas? Because it's important to be ready. John the Baptist was out trying to get people ready for the coming of the Messiah. And most of us do not want to hear what John the Baptist had to say before Christmas. You don't want to hear me say, "Repent, repent, repent," do you? I was reading a devotional this week And this, the guy who wrote it, he was making the comment. He said, every time I hear John the Baptist say, repent, 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 I think of a parrot doing what parrots do, saying the same thing over and over again. And he said, I have a picture of John the Baptist with a parrot head saying, repent, repent, repent. Most of us want Jesus, mild and meek in a manger, don't we? We want gracious, loving, kind, suffering the little children unto him at Christmas, don't we? Well, if that's what you think is going to happen, apparently you have not read all of Matthew. Because Matthew, the 4th chapter, the 12th through the 17th verses, we read this about Jesus. When Jesus heard that John had been in prison, John the Baptist, he withdrew to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus sounds like John the Baptist. Or did John the Baptist sound like Jesus? There was this Alexander White who preached in the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century. It was said that if you went to church where he was preaching, you were putting your life into your own hands. Will Woolman talks about in his book, Resident Aliens, he said, I'm tempted to think that the church really needs God to call 100 of the most insensitive, uncaring, and offensive people into the ministry. That's what the church needs today. Wow. John the Baptist is in the wilderness, born on the inside. His dad was a Levite. His mother was a Levite. Zechariah was a priest, part of the crowd, part of the establishment. And yet he was not wearing liturgical robes. He was out in the wilderness in camel hair and a leather belt saying, repent, in the wilderness. You ever been in the wilderness? It's not fun being in the wilderness. It's not fun at all. We would rather be here sitting on our cushions, warm, dry, friendly, radically hospitable environment, wouldn't we? But we don't always live there. See, yes, confession is good for the soul, but repentance is the thing that gives us peace. I don't know about you. Now, there was somebody in the 845 service, and they had less people here. So I'm thinking that somebody else will agree with me. You know, you're walking along, and you find yourself, you end up in the wilderness because of some sin. And you're just walking along, and then the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sinfulness, and we confess that sin. Have y'all ever confessed a sin with me? But have you ever confessed that sin and then kept on walking the way you were walking, keep doing that sin? You know, there was one person in the 845 service that raised her hand and said, yes, I have done that. Now, I had my hand raised. We all have done that, haven't we? But see, there's more to it than just confession. But confession means we've confessed. It might be good for the soul, but repentance means we're going to go the exact opposite direction because the other direction is where Christ is and our relationship with Christ. There are times in our life when we need accountability partners. Is that Jesus? God called it. The microwave's going off. What's for lunch? Yeah, I'm joking. In my life, I've had a series of accountability partners and accountability groups that I've been a part of. I'm in one now with two other preachers. We used to have three other preachers beside myself, and one of them needed an accountability partner, but he had a trouble telling the truth. But in most of those, you end up start by having some casual conversation. And if you're a Methodist by whatever, you end up, somebody will eventually get, how is it with your soul? And if you're an accountability partner for someone, when they say, everything's fine, I'm good, I'm real good. You know me, I'm real good. And they say, yeah, I know you. How is it with your soul? And they keep pressing because you've given them permission to press you. And then you have to say, I'm not good. I'm in a desert. I'm in the midst of something I'm having a hard time getting out of. And they listen. And they pray with you and for you. How can I help you? Will you call me when you feel the need, that you feel we're tempted beyond what you can stand? Yeah. How is it with your soul? I'm fine too. And you go through this. When have you felt closest to God in the last week? When have you felt the farthest away? Answering those questions honestly. And in the midst of that, you can find yourself leaving the wilderness. Because when we are in the thick of things, in the thick of life, in the thick of being, growing in our spiritual faith with other people, who we trust, we have given them permission to hold us accountable, and they have given us permission to hold them accountable, we can grow. In the midst of attending to the means of grace, of reading scripture and prayer and worship, acts of mercy, acts of mercy to people who have not, doing things for other people. In the midst of doing those things, we can find ourselves growing out of the wilderness. That's the beauty of repentance. And yet there are those of us in the Pharisees, when the Pharisees showed up to John the Baptist, they had all the answers. We got Abraham. We got Abraham. You know Abraham. He's the father of the faith. And we've got Abraham. Yeah, but. We use all kind of excuses when we think we know it all. Some of us might think it's because we went to this school or that school that we have all the answers and nothing can penetrate our souls. And some of us can even think that we're so smart that nothing could outsmart us. If you think you're so smart, you can outsmart the devil, you're in trouble. And so we do what we need to do. None of us are sinless and none of us are exempt from the ravages of sin, and the wilderness will live as a result of our sin. And John the Baptist tells us we need to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. I know what a peach looks like, and I know what a peach tree looks like. I know what a pear looks like, and I know what a pear tree looks like. I know what an apple tree looks like, and an apple. And there is fruit. You identify a tree by the fruit it produces. And so whatever we think we are, That's what's going to be seen, the fruit we produce. Fruit in keeping with repentance doesn't just happen. It happens when we work at it. The marks of a Christian life are best seen in our lives, and we become less selfish and more selfless. It is a life that is filled with a growing ability to respond and approach other people as Christ did. It's a life in which there is a faithful attendance to the means of grace. That's right. Confession is good for the soul, but a repentance gives us peace. And I truly believe, as Jesus said when he said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." That's the good news. No peace. No peace through not confession, but repentance. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your messenger, John the Baptist. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. May we be prepared. May we be prepared for this season. May we be prepared to receive you. And may we know your peace through repentance. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.